This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury, and of course, this is Open for Business. A couple of years ago, my colleague, you may have heard of him, Arvind Yuvaraj, managed to sit down with Julius, who is the Mr. Julius Lim, the founder and CEO of Comp Asia. They had a bit of a chat. In the studio with me today, on the phone lines rather, I have George Hashim, who's the Chief Strategy Officer of Comp Asia. Welcome to the show, George.
Thank you very much, Richard. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Absolute pleasure. Now, before I get into too many details and too much nitty-gritty, for those people that didn't manage to catch that interview just a couple of years ago, could you just briefly give me an idea of what Comp Asia is?
Oh, no problem. Okay, so Comp Asia was a company founded by Julius back in 2006 that primarily started in the secondhand phone trading of computers. Mm. And that's how it all began. And that business slowly grew. But with the heavy adoption of the smartphones taking precedence over computers, he shifted the business focus to support those trading activities across the region from computers that evolved to smartphones. You can imagine, Richard, the size and weight of a computer versus the size and weight of a smartphone. Mm. But the value of those smartphones have even gone up higher than laptops and notebooks and big servers and,
for sure,
and monitors and such.
Yeah. And I imagine the refresh cycle as well of PCs versus smart devices.
Yes,
a big difference.
There's a much faster life cycle, upgrade cycle with smartphones than there is with laptops and notebooks and PCs. Absolutely correct.
Okay, so when somebody has a phone that they feel they no longer want to use and they want to upgrade, this is where you guys become involved, is it?
Yes, absolutely. So again, one of the things that Julius and I have been able to evolve the business from, a traditional phone trading business, is that we've been able to effectively digitalize it and introduce new types of ways of engaging the market and engaging direct consumers more effectively than, say, versus how traditional phone trade-in activities happened in the past. A good analogy or a good correlation would be something like how traditional taxis evolved to Grab.
Yeah.
Exactly the same way.
And they saved us a whole bunch of problems.
Yeah, absolutely. So in the old days, the end consumer would, if he wanted to monetize the value of his secondhand phone, he'll walk into a street corner little phone shop and haggle,
yeah,
and haggle with that phone shop guy. And that was how it was done before. But today it's all through an app experience where the end consumer can, download the app. The app is effectively assesses the condition of the phone remotely. Mm. And then offers a value to the customer that is at par, if not better, than what he would say get in Lalayat Plaza or on the street, on the local street level. And of course, that competitive edge in the experience, the digitalization, and of course, that value that we bring, convenience as well, is all part of the whole proposition to the marketplace.
So when it was originally set up back in 2012 and then the switch to PCs a little bit later on, was it just B2B or was it, because now it's B2B2C, right?
It's a combination of both. So, we have an obligation to offer this service directly to the marketplace. Mm. We label it in Malaysia as called InstaCash.
Right, yes.
So you can imagine instant cash, right?
Yeah.
That's what the coin for it is. And we do a lot of marketing and advertising on social media because it's an app, right? Mm. So we do a lot of marketing on social media like Facebook and Google, Instagram, to reach the marketplace out there, the consumers out there. They see those ads. They see that great proposition that we're offering them. They download the app. It assesses the value, the condition, and offers them the value. Mm. And they accept that value. Within the next day, there's someone knocking at their door to complete that transaction with them. And they're hence coined the word InstaCash. Once that device is collected from the end customer's home or office or wherever you may be, the there's a payment that's made directly to his bank account instantly. And that's hence coined the word Instacash.
Great incentive.
At the same time, we also work with a lot of partners out there, starting at, I would say, the OEM manufacturing level.
Mm.
That gets case down to, say, the operating mobile operator carrier level, and then down to the tier, I would say, structured retail level, where, you know, effectively providing our technology allows their customers to walk into any of their stores or even offer it online to have that same trade-in experience as well. So it supports both C2B and C2B2B.
Wonderful. Okay, so obviously the last time we spoke to you, you guys, was 2018, I believe.
Yes.
And a lot has changed since then. When we first heard from Julius, he was talking about revenue in 2017 was around 85 million. In 2018, it was around 300 million. Expectation in 2019 was expected to be 1 billion. Now, that kind of rise, for a lot of people looking at that, is like, holy heck, what on earth is driving these numbers?
Yeah, it's amazing what's happened in the marketplace. And there's a few things that drive it. The first thing is, of course, across the Asian region, which CompAsia primarily operates in its business activities, the adoption of smartphones is just absolutely growing.
Mm.
That's one thing. The second thing is also about the affordability play, especially in emerging markets like Indonesia, Thailand, Vietnam, India, Bangladesh. And then on top of that, with the surge of evolution in technologies, right? So we came into the market when it was just 3G and then it evolved to 4G. And now the next boom is going to be the 5G boom. And that's going to push smartphone adoption in the marketplace massively.
Mm.
And of course, the affordability play is very critical to that. You know, most consumers in our region can't afford a brand new expensive Samsung or iPhone.
That's right.
It's beyond their reach.
Yeah.
So everything that CompAsia tries to do is to provide affordability out there through sourcing directly from the market, from the more affluent markets, these iPhones and Samsung devices, and then remarketing them and redistributing them across the region to markets where they can now afford them at a much, much cheaper price.
Just before we take a break, George, can you just tell me which markets you're actually in right now?
Oh, we operate in India. We operate in Malaysia, of course, Singapore, Taiwan, Hong Kong, Vietnam, and Thailand, and the Philippines.
And these numbers that we're reading now are before you guys have even gotten into Indonesia.
Yes, absolutely. So,
which is almost like the holy grail for a lot of people, you know?
It is. And again, now we're approaching our business with a digitalized approach, preferred historically from the traditional trading business, by introducing these technologies like our trade and app applications into these marketplaces.
Okay.
Which is reaching a lot wider, which has a much wider reach. And of course, with the adoption of digitalization by the marketplace, and also what you saw with COVID-19 happening, people were forced to adopt these tech applications.
Mm. Let's talk about that after the break. On the phone line with me right now, I have George Hashim. He's the Chief Strategy Officer for CompAsia. I'll be back with him in a moment. We're going to be talking a little bit about what's happened during COVID-19, of course, and how business may have changed during that time. You are tuned in to Open for Business here on BFM 89.9.
Bias-free media. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Open for Business. We are talking about CompAsia. We're revisiting CompAsia, in fact. Just a couple of years ago, Arvin managed to sit down with the founder and CEO of CompAsia. That's Julius Lim. I've got George Hashim. He's the Chief Strategy Officer over at CompAsia. Now, interestingly, while COVID-19 has been affecting businesses around the world, causing widespread closures, it's kept CompAsia busier than usual, as a surge in mobile device trade-ins and leasing was recorded in the past few months, and despite the slowdown in the economy in Q1 of 2020, things have been looking good in Q2, and Comp Asia is looking to grow more than 50% in revenue and the number of devices that is processed compared to last year. George, I was going to say, how have things changed since COVID? And there's my answer, right?
Yeah, it was actually a surprise to us. It was unpredictable. No one could determine what their fate or future was at that point in time when we were experiencing that from February and then to March and April. And then, of course, if we use Malaysia as an example, there was a period of a complete lockdown of the whole country, which did for a few weeks impact our business activities for obvious reasons. I think everyone else was impacted by it. But other markets that we operate were not so badly affected. Vietnam was not badly affected. Thailand was not badly affected. And these were markets that were very active in, together with markets like Taiwan, which was almost not affected at all.
Right.
So it was an amazing experience over that period. But again, I think a major contributor to our success over that period was, again, our digitalization strategy.
Yeah.
Digitalize a lot of our services, reaching out to the marketplaces, reaching out to the end consumers. And of course, again, it's all about affordability, right? And, you know, people went through hard times of that period, and it's still going through hard times as well from a financial perspective. A lot of people, you know, got unemployed. Business were tightening up. People had to tighten their belts. And, you know, our trade-in application was a perfect solution out there at the point. And it's evolved a lot since then because we were able to provide income, additional, a little bit of extra cash for Malaysians that, you know, that needed it by trading in their old phones. And it was done in a way that was safe. You know, they didn't have to leave their home. They could just download the app. They would be offered a great value for their secondhand value for their devices. They would accept that value, and then that would trigger one of our logistics partners, again, who's compliant with PPE protocols, to collect that phone from that end user, and, you know, peace of mind, hassle free. And that was well adopted over that COVID period, and it's hasn't changed.
I mean, just a moment ago, you touched on the idea that it is financially hard times for a lot of people. And you've got a product due to be launched soon. You do have a product, like a financing product, Renew Plus, which I'm assuming for those people that have had to sell their phone, this is another way in which they can get their hands on something. And it might not be as much of a painful cost for them all in one go, correct?
Yes, Richard, that's a good point. Yeah, so you know, we're proud to have launched our Renew Plus, starting with the Malaysia market. And also, I believe we've just launched in Vietnam as well. Renew Plus, again, is a digital approach to provide affordability to marketplace, where the only options in the market traditionally would be, you know, to buy an expensive phone with outright cash.
Yeah.
The other option is if you did qualify for a credit card, you can get a phone through a credit card, zero installment plan. But then, you know, if that phone value is quite heavy, you got to offset that value against your credit card's limit,
right?
Which you may, again, create limitations to you as well.
Yeah.
The other option you would have would be through the traditional, I would say, microfinancing facilities that may be available out there traditionally. But then, you know, there's a long application process. You have to bring your a lot of payslip, your 3 months payslip, all these records with you when you apply. It's paper based. You've got to wait, you know, a few days to see if you qualify, have been approved, and then even after that, there's even a 3-day cooling off period. Only after that, that can almost be more than a week, can you actually walk out with that phone?
That's right. Yeah.
You know, these are the options that are available. From traditional to what you see with the taxi, traditional taxi versus Grab, we've done exactly that digitalized approach to the marketplace, where now today you can walk to any of our partner stores, you can subscribe online through a web-based application. You just have to bring your face and your identification card, and it does a Know Your Customer application process. And then you get a response within a minute. Hey, you've been approved or declined. And after that, there's a digital agreement, which you can digitally sign. And boom, there you go. You can walk out with a phone within half an hour.
It's a great idea, and it kind of tackles a whole bunch of pain points in one go. And it brings us back to this discussion about how COVID has pushed everybody who didn't think they needed to go digital, you know, much faster into going into that digital space.
Yeah, so absolutely right. So, you know, we didn't plan for COVID, but we had our digitalized roadmap in play a year and a half prior to that. And again, the approach was very strategic. It was digitalization, disruption from traditional ways of practice. It was about affordability.
Right. Yeah. I've got a couple more questions just before we wrap up, George. First, I want to talk about this new thing that you've got coming soon called InstaCover.
Yes.
Let's talk about that first, and then I've got one final question for you.
Sure. So again, you know, how device protection programs used to traditionally run was pretty much at the point of the sale of a brand new device in that particular outlet.
Yeah.
And that could be a mobile operator's outlet to a retailer's outlet. If there was a benefit that was being offered to protect the customer's phone, it was only offered at that particular point in time.
Correct.
And that could be a benefit of, say, an extended warranty cover, or that could be a full theft and damage cover, or just a cracked screen or damage alone standalone cover that could only be applied at that particular moment in time. But if the customer chose not to get it as an option, and then, you know, the chances are he'll never be able to enjoy those benefits after that point in time.
Right.
So what we've done is that we've launched a new app, which is called InstaCover. Now, what the purpose of InstaCover is that it allows for that experience at the beginning of a new device being released to the customer, and can be offered either online, again, as well as offline in our partner stores. But what's more amazing is that maybe you've had your phone for 3 months, 6 months, even up to 2 years. You've had your favorite phone on you. And you, at any point in time, you chose, say, hey, I want to get another 6 months of extended warranty, or I want to subscribe to a monthly installment plan on a 12-month extended warranty on my device. Or I want to get a device swap service on my phone, you know, and you've had your phone for over a year.
Yeah.
We now allow for that through a digital application.
It's a great idea. I mean, it's almost like previously you wouldn't buy life insurance the day that you were born. I know it's a strange thing to kind of associate it with, but it's a very similar thing. You know, you would wait a little while before you decided what your premiums would be. You would check it out, and then you would take out insurance.
And that's a very good point, right? So just like how you apply car insurance, right? When you buy a brand new car, you're paying for that insurance fee to protect that car at its point of it being new.
Yeah.
But then 1 year later, you do another assessment that the car is devalued and the insurance that you should be applying to it is based on its new appraised value at that point in time. Now, of course, smartphones depreciate much faster than cars.
Yeah.
But then our system supports that secondhand assessment value of those smartphones in real time, right? So when you get our benefits from our InstaCover program, it's based on the market value of your particular device at that point in time, maybe 6 months or 1 year after you got that phone, based on its original higher value. So you're getting more realistic value from CompAsia through its InstaCover program versus, say, getting it from a brand new phone, you know, at a retail store or at a mobile operator store and paying that premium fee because it's completely brand new at that point in time.
Okay, I have one final question for you, and it's a biggie. Sure. And I'm sure that there are people listening who have been keeping track of CompAsia for a while. And I know probably this answer is going to be brief, but it's about the listing. So Julius, not too long ago, you know, was saying that you guys wanted to be listed at the turn of the decade. And of course, it's 2020, it's October. Where are we now in terms of listing?
Well, that's a good question, Richard. So I think we're on track to do our listing. I you know, Julius may have a different, well, we're both aligned, but we're hoping that we can achieve it by the year 2022 before it ends. But there's a few things that we have to do to make that a realization. First of all, we have a lot more work to do across Asia.
Right.
And what we've also noticed is that our technology approach, our digitalization technology approach, is even beyond what markets and more mature markets are actually operating in, like say United States or even Europe.
Mm.
And to me, that was surprising. And again, part of that journey is to expand our value propositions, our technology and our value propositions and affordability into the markets beyond Asia as well. We've just registered our office in the United States, and we plan to get that off the ground. Again, in a very similar way that how we've been successful in Asia, by launching our own branding in the marketplace, as well as engaging the key players at the smartphone manufacturing and at the telco and at the retail level there. And we'd be quite surprised about the potential of how much we can disrupt there as how much we have disrupted in Asia.
Wonderful. So 2022, we think then?
That's what I'm counting on. I'm not a young man anymore, so we better hit those milestones.
George, thank you very much for your time today.
Richard, thank you very much for this opportunity.
Absolute pleasure, my friend. That was George Hashim, the Chief Strategy Officer for Comp Asia. If you missed any part of this podcast, just a quick reminder, they are a company providing end-to-end mobile device life cycle management, amongst other things. And despite the slowdown in the first quarter of 2020, things have been looking good for Q2, and Comp Asia are looking to grow more than 50% in revenue and the number of devices that it processed compared to last year. They're also expecting a very high growth rate in the next couple of years, and listing is in the pipeline for Comp Asia 2022, I'm assured. You've tuned in to Open for Business here on BFM 89.9. My name is Rich Bradbury for BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.